This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
Let's do this thing!
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
My grandmother's name was Giovanna Domenica Tavernaro. When she'd get mad, she'd start spewing in Italian. I never knew what she was talking about.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Ben Pyle with a monster jam! He says in your face, Derby!
College basketball.
Kemba Walker, step back, Walker, Cardia, Kemba! Does it again! UConn wins at the buzzer!
Everything happening in the sports world.
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
I mean, they'd take one look at me and they'd say, next! Whatever happened to Ethel?
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition, another full week of According to Jim here on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, and joining me, as always, the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. Steve, we've had one heck of a weekend. One busy weekend. Somehow you played golf yesterday.
Can you believe,
looking outside now, that you played golf yesterday?
It's hard to believe, yeah. In fact, I played golf in nothing more than a sweater and had a lot of fun out there. Gary Hess and Dave Lackey and Kelly Sorensen and I teed it up and had a lot of fun. Place a lot of people out playing, and you look at today, and then you look at the
Think many people are out there.
You look at
today.
The forecast, and by Thursday it's supposed to be 60, so I'm sure people will be out playing again. So, but we just had a remarkable 3-day, last 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We met a lot of new people, according to gym fans. We website
fans. You wouldn't believe how many people made a comment to me this weekend and said, you know, Steve's grandmother's name is Giovanna Domenica something something. Like 8 people said that to me, which is wild because that's only been running for like a week.
Yeah, and it's only on our show, so they had to be listening to our show. And
you don't think they can find that on
Shawnee Mission?
Sports?
Shawnee Mission, the East Coast Sean Hare comes up and he looks at me, goes, "Hey, Sell on Sports, how you doing?" You know,
Sean Hare's a big fan.
Yeah, Sean Hare's a big fan. He's got a really nice basketball team, and I hope they do big things. I'd like to see them go far in Class 6A this year because they had a really nice team, some really good players. What a fantastic tournament. If you go to midkansasonline.com, I posted my tournament thoughts already, starting to work on the magazine that we have. We do a commemorative special limited edition of 400 magazines.
Limited edition.
Very limited, 400 magazines, so you got to get it quick. I'll do the first half of the magazine this week, and then after the girls' tournament, do that. And we'll have those. The goal is to have them at the game on February 9th at home because the boys don't play again until February 6th after tomorrow night. You and I go down to Newton for the Railers, your first McPherson-Newton game. You know, when I first got here, this was like McPherson-Bueller. That's how intense a rivalry it was. And now
they've played almost 100 times.
Yeah, and you know that was Newton was the gold standard before McPherson was the gold standard. They actually have more state championships, I believe, than any other boys team in Kansas, except maybe Wyandotte. I think it goes Wyandotte, then maybe Newton, and then McPherson. So it used to be a great rivalry. Then we didn't get in the we were no longer in the same division of the Arc Valley. Then they just didn't want to play us for a while. So last year we revitalized the rivalry, had a great game with them here last year. And then tomorrow night, I think the Bullpups, they can't help but be flat. I'm sorry. I know Coach Kinnaman says we're going to guard it, but I just think they're going to be a little flat. Newton didn't do very well in their tournament. They got a great player in Ty Berry. Gives them a puncher's chance in every game. He's a guy that can get 30 or 40 in a game at any given moment. So I think a lot of McPherson fans, remembering that Newton rivalry, will make that trip. It's a boys-only game, so actually it's a 7 o'clock tip-off for the boys' varsity game, which is nice for us. We'll be on by 9 o'clock and see maybe catch some of the, a replay of that KU game. But
yeah.
Anyway, getting back to the tournament, this was your first tournament, and I know you were just in awe of how exciting it was. And really, the crowd on Friday was absolutely, as you say, off the chain or whatever it is you say.
Off the hizzy.
Off the hizzy.
Off the hook.
The crowd.
Off the charts.
I really believe our crowd was so intense and so into on Friday, it was almost like everybody was exhausted by Saturday, and they finally...
I was exhausted.
And it came around in the fourth quarter when the Bullpups needed them most, then it got loud again. But for three quarters, I thought it was pretty quiet in there. We also had, you know, with Tabor, or Mac and Tabor playing at the Sports Center, Central was home. That took away probably some of the people. The swimmers were at a meet. The wrestlers were at a meet. So there were some students out of the student section. I don't think we had quite as big a crowd on Saturday, but that Friday crowd... Man, I mean, my ears were still ringing at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday.
Well, they won on Friday night. As we recap even what happened, we'll recap a little McPherson Invitational here, then we can talk about some of the madness of yesterday in the NFL. Also some Big 12 basketball that we were able to keep up with on Saturday. But sticking with the McPherson Invitational, Friday night, there was a feeling that for the first time this year, I think came across some fans, maybe some players, maybe some coaches, for sure some broadcasters, that going into that fourth quarter and when they got down by 9 against Shawnee Mission East, for the first time the feeling crept around of...
We might not make it.
They might not win this game.
Yeah.
They might not. And going into the fourth quarter and after that fourth quarter got underway, I think that those feelings went away.
We were still 6 down, though, going into the fourth quarter.
I think some people, though, once they got going, and with about 1 minute into that fourth quarter was when they took control, I think tied the game up or at least cut it to 1 at about that time. But once they got back and that roundhouse started rocking, there was no doubt.
Yeah.
Shawnee Mission East, I'm not going to say they crumbled. That's not what they did. But there was a moment that
the tidal,
that crowd got loud,
the tidal
and they
wave of emotion,
couldn't do anything.
The tidal wave of emotion overwhelmed them.
They just weren't going to win.
Yeah, they knew it. I mean, it crept into their head. You know, they'd played a great three quarters, but I mean, that crowd willed that team to a victory. And Coach Kinnaman said so after the game.
That was a really, really fun game, and you could hear it when you were listening to us, that we were riding that wave as well. And we have a highlight clip posted up on our podcast page, soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. It hit like 300 listens by the end of 24 hours.
Yeah.
So it was a really exciting win. And then all we could think of was, are they going to be able to continue to ride this roller coaster into Saturday? And for the first couple of minutes of that game with Bishop Carroll on Saturday, they were matching the intensity of Bishop Carroll, but it was not matching the intensity from the night before. And I think that in that game against Bishop Carroll on Saturday, there was never really the same doubts that were creeping in, but there were a couple of moments where we were going, man, Bishop Carroll's just not going away.
And I think the reason that is we came back from that big deficit, and these seniors on the team, they just – refused to lose. I mean, the Drew Labertus, Ben Piles, Mason Alexanders,
Jace Alexander, Thomas
Diggs, those guys, they are winners and they have been through it before. Cody Stuffel, being just a sophomore, I thought he was absolutely immense. I talked to him after the tournament. I said, young man, you grew up in this tournament. He was just relentless on the glass, getting offensive rebounds. I think he had about 5 or 6 old-fashioned three-point plays in the 3 days of the tournament.
And three in the championship.
Yeah, three in the championship. So, you know, this team, these kind of games help them, though.
Yeah.
Because for one thing, it gives them confidence to know that they can come back from a deficit. They haven't been in this position very many times, but you take the Andale game going into the tournament, even Blue Valley West, it was a good game for 2.5 quarters. Then the Bullpups kind of pulled away. And then those last two games, the Bullpups had to call on their reserve power. At McPherson Magic, as I was calling it. Jace Kinnaman's three on Friday was immense. I mean, Jace hadn't made a three in a varsity game all year, and he stepped up with ice water in his veins and knocked that three down.
The bus, yeah. And the bus was fully loaded, torqued.
You bet. He was fully loaded, and that kind of got the fans into the game. Then Shawnee Mission East goes back ahead 6, you know, after Jace hit that three. So it was still a 6-point game in the fourth quarter. But Mason Alexander in the final 5 minutes, 12 points. He came up about 2 or 3 steals. Kind of found his shot a little bit in that. And I thought, you know, that was the best 5-minute stretch he's had all year.
The other thing that I think is very important to take away from this McPherson Invitational, not only just that the Bullpups won it, but this is the point of this tournament, I think, that what the point I'm about to make. and the reason that they host it and the reason that the Bullpups want to play these types of teams. They get to take on three different types of teams. And when you look at the types of teams and the styles that they play, there were about five different styles, maybe even six, where you have the opportunity to play a Wichita North, who plays a style unlike anybody else that you'll see this
Loyola
year.
Loyola Marymount.
They play the Guru of Go offense. Blue Valley West, they are a little bit bigger with a little bit more of a focus on the perimeter game. Then you looked at a Shawnee Mission East team that had two big guys that could shoot. They had a great quick point guard. Then you look at Bishop Carroll, who ran a back cut Princeton offense.
Right.
And then you see a Free State team that's different. You see a Derby team that's different. And they didn't get to play all of these teams that I mentioned, but you learn how to play against different styles of teams because, let's be honest, El Dorado, Winfield, Augusta,
yeah,
Bueller, they play all a very similar style of game. And so the Bullpups know how to play that, but sometimes they need to learn how to play that Wichita North style. How do you defend that?
And
how
that,
do you learn how to lock down big guys?
And the people that didn't see the Wichita North Derby game, I mean, I was exhausted. I was exhausted just watching it. I mean, those teams, I thought at times they almost played too fast for their own good. It ended up, I believe, 85-73 or so. But at the halftime, it was 47-43. It looked like we might have two teams get to the 100 the way they're going, but they kind of exhausted it. You could just see the legs for both teams kind of go in the second half. And that was the thing. We started off on Saturday with a seventh-place game that went into overtime. These teams got after. You know, normally seventh-place game guys are just
Junction City, Blue Valley
going
West.
70%. I mean, neither of those teams wanted to be the team that didn't win a game in this tournament. Who did not want to be that team with the big donut and end up being Blue Valley West? Blue Valley West could have gone to a lot of different tournaments, maybe even won those tournaments. That's how good the feel was. Lawrence Free State, number one in the entire state, Class 6A. They go 1-2 in this tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. Now, granted, they didn't have their center on Saturday, but it was just amazing, you know, that a team number one in the state can only go 1-2 in the McPherson Invitational.
They saw the Sunflower League. They saw the Eastern Kansas League, which many would consider to be the best league in the state. And the EKL, Blue Valley West, is obviously near the bottom. But that's still a very good league, and they will play some really good teams this year. They saw the City League. And so I think that is something that will really have them prepared for a sub-state, for a state tournament. Now, they kind of know what they're going to get with the sub-state, but that is why this tournament is so important. It's the same reason that the girls do it, because they're going to get the same thing from El Dorado and Winfield and Augusta. They know what they're getting there.
Right.
And that's why they play Olathe South. They play Shawnee Mission Northwest. They bring in Wichita schools some years. They bring in Manhattan.
Heights.
They do this because they need to get better. And it's very cool that they recognize that.
And Coach Kinnaman said, he says, I felt like we grew up. You know, we grew up. The thing is, his bench grew up. Because, you know, our bench had to come up big. You know, we didn't have Jake Alexander on Friday. Jace Alexander steps in, scores 9 points, makes some big plays. Cody Stufflebean, you know, and then the bus with his
bus.
Three. And Gabe Hoover and Kyler Hoppus. You know, Kyler Hoppus had a big assist
Aaron
in steals.
Trost.
Aaron Trost came in, blocked a shot. You know, just, you know, those kinds of things. You know, that's going to help those guys. Because I'm telling you, our sub-state, it is not a walkover. Bueller is a very good basketball team. Hayes, much better apparently than we ever realized. Even Ulysses is having their best year. They're above 500. So it's no guarantee the Bullpups, you know, are just going to have a walkover to get to the state tournament. They're going to have to earn it.
And now they have it fresh in their memory what it takes to win games down the stretch. Because against Winfield, against Augusta, against El Dorado, all you're focusing on is finishing to get to that 30-point mark by the fourth quarter.
Right.
You're not focused on coming from behind, pulling out wins down the stretch, getting a stop on defense, making a big shot. You don't have to worry about that in a lot of these league games. But when it gets to sub-state, what if they have a bad night? What if somebody's hurt? They learn how to play like that in tournaments like this. And like Coach Kinnaman said, they grew up this week.
Yeah, they really did. They had to, you know, overcoming Jake Alexander being out. And also, like the state tournament, the coaching staff, they have to, of course, they kind of know they get a few days to prepare, but, you know, you don't know who you're going to play on. Say you win your first one, and the boys do play on Thursday first this year, so they,
thanks,
you know,
to our anonymous source.
Yeah, thanks to our anonymous source. And, you know, the coaches have to adjust on the fly, too. Coach Kinnaman, he and Coach Assistant Coach Fall were actually huddled over at my house on Saturday. They were trying to figure out, who are we going to put on this for Carroll? What about those back cuts? How do we stop their Princeton offense? And those guys were working away. Who do we put, you know, if Jake can't go, who are we going to play? So, you know, those guys worked all day. It started Saturday morning. They were still putting a game plan together at about 5:30 on Saturday afternoon. So, you know, the big tip of the cap to the coaching staff. They were the most prepared team in the tournament. There's no doubt about that. Each assistant coach, you know, in the tournament had a team that they had to personally scout, and they had volumes of information, you know, what they shot from the free throw line, who can go left, who can't go right, you know, what kind of defense. So big hats off to the coaching staff, too.
So the Bullpups won their fourth straight McPherson Invitational, their 24th overall. Pretty solid winning percentage.
Seniors end up 12-0. That senior class ends up 12-0. Ben Pyle, the MVP, Mason Alexander, an all-tournament selection. But on Saturday night, we gave our player of the game to the team, like the legendary late Jay Frazier used to always tell me.
Jay Frazier
out on I-40. Jay used to say, I don't give an all-tournament team, because the team that wins the tournament, that's the all-tournament team. And there is some credence to that, that's for sure.
So it was a fun weekend out at the Roundhouse, some very good basketball, and there also were some good basketball games going on in other parts of the country, Big 12 country.
And the high schools around here.
Yeah, all
Elyria
sorts of
Christian,
good basketball.
My goodness.
The Eagles, quadruple overtime.
Yeah, Elyria Christian goes 4 overtimes to win their tournament. The Mound Ridge boys, we had Vance Endround here on Saturday.
He was Dridgers.
Just, yeah, I did not know that Mound Ridge people are called Dridgers. I learned that. That was something new. I've lived here almost 40 years, and it took Vance Unround to let me know, but he was grinning from ear to ear. His Wildcats won the Canton Galva Invitational, played super. You know, they beat the number one seed on Thursday, and then beat a really good Wichita Warriors homeschool team. You hear homeschool, and everyone kind of snickers. Hey, Vance Unround said they could be in the top three of the Heart of America without question.
So we'll take our first break of the show. We're really pushing it today. We've got lots to talk about. It was a fun weekend. When we come back, before we dive into Big 12 and the college basketball, let's talk about the AFC and NFC championship games. We'll take a break here on 96.7 FM KBBE on According to Jim.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back in on today's According to Jim, starting off another big, big week here at McPherson. We have 4 basketball games to cover. Well, Steve, we have 13 basketball games to cover, with the Mid-America Classic coming to town this weekend, then the boys playing at Newton in a boys-only game tomorrow night starting at 7 o'clock. But before we dive into this weekend of AFC and NFC championship games, we've got one more big shout-out to give, and that is to McPherson High Athletic Director Shane Bacchus. He was a man running around with his hair on fire this weekend.
Yeah.
With all sorts of places to be, but this was, I don't know, comparing this to other tournaments around the state, and I don't know if you'll have a great answer for this either, because you're pretty much here every single year.
Right.
But seeing the reaction from some of the teams that were here, the Free State Twitter said something, Derby did, they have a lot of respect for the work that was done here and how professionally everything was done.
And, you know, Shane's got a great group of volunteers, you know, Tennille and Dave Larson and the ticket takers and the people that do the scorebook, Dave Gerzen, Kurt Kornhaus, of course, the man, the fish man, Big
Fish.
Jason Fish does a great job on the PA. The guys that do the stats, oh, my goodness. They're there every single minute. Lowell Schmidt, he is just an absolute you know, workhorse. He does every single game. He's got guys that kind of rotate him, you know, Bob and you know, all those guys. Trent Ruxlow helped this year, and there's several others. But Lowell is, you know, Lowell's the staple, and he's already sent me the top 10. In fact, I'm looking at the top 10 scorers, rebounders, everything like that. But Shane does a great job. He always says, anything you guys need. And every coach says, man, this is why we come to the McPherson tournament. We know it's going to be well organized. So shout out to Shane Bakus and the Volunteers. I mean, they even
wrote the Tennessee Volunteers.
They even wrote my name down. I don't even have to write my name when I show up. They write my name for me because I'm, you know, I got my hands full of stuff with all my stuff.
They still make me do it.
Yeah, they write my name down on the pass list when I come in. So I mean, and the lasagna.
Oh, and, primo.
Yeah, Tennille did a great job on that. Joan Schultz, you know, she let Jace slip in there, you know, to. You know, Jace wasn't supposed to be in the hospital.
Yeah, the bus was not supposed to go
in. Yeah, but he slipped in. But, I mean, he's kind of a fixture, so he's, you know, he's allowed in. But I'm sure during the girls' tournament he'll be a fixture
sure. I guarantee it.
But anyway, great shout-out. And now Shane turns it over. The Optimus Club runs the tournament this week, and they do an incredible job, too. They, you know, they will do just as good as Shane. And I look for the girls' tournament to be just right up there with the boys' tournament.
Well, it was a really fun weekend up until yesterday afternoon. And you knew how I felt about this coming into today, Steve, that we're burning up in here. Steve is dying of a
heat stroke is on.
Over
the
there.
Heat is like 95 degrees in here.
Right? I don't know what's happening, but so yesterday afternoon, I texted Steve in the fourth quarter. With the Jacksonville Jaguars leading by 10.
You were feeling pretty good.
And to be honest, I didn't feel very good.
Oh, okay.
But going into the fourth quarter and Jacksonville leading by 10 and me coming on the show all last week and saying, I'm taking the Jags on the money line. They're going to win this thing outright. And you telling me there's no way. Well, they're up by 10. And I texted Steve sort of jokingly and said, how you feeling? And he said, unreal. But to put this into perspective, going into that fourth quarter, I kept saying, time is not a factor here yet for New England yet. It's not a factor. They don't need a lot of time. They have all three timeouts. You give Brady 30 seconds, he's going to throw a ball up and there's going to be a pass interference. They're going to move 50 yards down the field. Time was not a factor.
They got the benefit of a few calls. I will say that. A couple of those pass interference calls, my goodness, and I thought they were a little questionable.
But you start to figure things out that Tom Brady was not going to lose that game. Blake Bortles was not going to win that game. And Steve, in 2002, when Tom Brady first beat the Raiders with the Tuck Rule game and the field goal in the snow, and then went on to beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, 2002.
Right.
I was 7 years old. So my entire life, what have I watched? Tom Brady, down in games, in the playoffs, rallying to win. My entire life, the first football game in the NFL that I really remember watching was the Tuck Rule game. That's the first one that I remember important details of that game. So every game I have ever watched in the postseason has featured Tom Brady mostly winning. So are you surprised going into that fourth quarter that he's down 10, rallying them, they score that first touchdown?
I was surprised they were down.
That first touchdown, you go, well, this game's about over. And even when I texted you, I felt pretty confident that the Patriots were going to win that game.
Yeah.
And then Blake Bortles, he throws a perfect pass that on fourth down could have won the game if it was thrown a little bit further. But New England comes up with a big play. It's just what they do.
It's what they do.
And I don't like it. I didn't want them to win, but now I'm going to bet on them to win the Super Bowl by a whole lot.
Could you imagine, though, a Jacksonville in the Super Bowl?
I had imagined it.
Wow.
I thought it would be pretty fun.
That kind of blows my mind. It's like the Chiefs being in the Super Bowl.
They were the least bet on team at the beginning of the season to win the Super Bowl. So you know Vegas, they have their bets where you can bet into the future.
Right.
Fewer people put money on them to win the Super Bowl than put money on the Cleveland Browns.
Ugh.
They were number 32 Nobody thought Jacksonville could win. And they were about 2 feet on that pass from Bortles from having a pretty good chance down the stretch. There was no doubt Tom Brady was going to win that game in the fourth quarter.
And you know what I noticed? He doesn't have, you know, he's 40 years old. Let's remember that.
He's a man.
He doesn't have the zip on the ball. But he throws it just hard enough to get it to his receivers. And that's what I think frustrates people that don't like Brady, is because he's just still good enough to make those big completions. It looks like, you know, the ball's not going to get there. And then you got Danny Amendola diving and making all sorts of catches. Gronkowski,
no Gronk.
Gronk gets knocked out of the game. Brandon Cook's a really good receiver. Loves to throw to those backs out of the backfield. But I came away with the feeling after watching the two games yesterday that Philadelphia might just have a chance. Now, Nick Foles, the only problem is Nick Foles played out of his mind yesterday. He can't do that two games in a row. So, I mean,
Pats by 14, Pats by 21.
That Philadelphia defense, though, they're savage. I mean, they've got some assassins back there. And New England's defense is a little spotty. I mean, if Blake Bortles can throw for almost 300 yards, that tells you their pass defense isn't very good. But Philadelphia, New England, I don't think very many people...
Did the best two teams make the Super Bowl, in your opinion? Because I don't think that.
I think the best two teams, the best team out of the NFC made it, and the best team out of the AFC made it.
See, I disagree. I think Minnesota was better.
But Case Keenum, I mean, my goodness.
Nick Foles? Yeah. Now, Carson Wentz, Eagles, yeah, that was the best team.
Yeah.
Now, here's another fun stat, Steve. Chiefs beat both those teams in the Super Bowl again. And they didn't just beat the Eagles with Nick Foles. They didn't beat the bad Eagles. They beat the good Eagles.
But you know,
when they were good.
That was the second game of the year.
I was there.
And at the time, nobody really thought that was, man, they just beat a great, great team. They beat the Eagles, and that's like, you know, that's a good team. But at the time, nobody gave it much credence. And then when Philadelphia got to about 7-1, 10-2, people are saying, man, that win the Chiefs had looked really good now. So
still makes me mad.
Of course. And then here's my pet peeve. I hate the week off.
You don't love the Pro Bowl?
Pro Bowl, Schmo Bowl, get rid of it. I mean, those guys, they go about 50%. All they're trying to do is not get hurt. I like the Super Bowl right after, the week after, and I wish they would go back to that, because I just think, you know, the teams are hot.
You want it to be in Honolulu?
Well.
Oh, you want the Super Bowl.
I want the
week.
Super Bowl next week. I don't want that 2 week, you know, waiting period.
Well,
I want
to
get.
What do we do?
I'm not watching the Pro Bowl. It better be about 60 so I can go out and play golf, is what it better be.
All right, let's take our final break. We are running way long today. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or for those of you listening online at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner, he's Steve Sell. Steve, if you want to listen to the show on podcast, you can't catch it live.
Don't ask me. You know I don't know.
You're
that.
Going to go online to soundcloud.com/...
McPherson... I don't know. I'm going to put a little sticker right here so when you ask me that.
On your forehead?
Yeah.
Soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. So,
and a lot of people have been going there because, like, you put that clip up from Friday's game, and boy, did it explode. It about went viral.
Steve knows a whole lot about things going viral. Well, we didn't get to talk a whole lot about college basketball this weekend. It was a weird Big 12 weekend. And again, KU standing atop, all alone,
right,
because they get some help from Texas Tech playing like Texas Tech, and Oklahoma playing like Oklahoma,
well,
and Trae Young taking 500 shots.
Well, Oklahoma has become a victim of Trae Young's success, because now the other players are just standing around and watching him. He took 39 shots. I mean, that is... If Ben
hey, 48 points.
Okay, if Ben Pyle took 39 shots in a game for the Bullpups, He'd score 60. That guy, he would score 60. There is no doubt in my mind.
You want to take a guess at how many shots the Bullpups took as a team against Blue Valley West on Thursday night?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Well, they took 44.
Okay.
So Trey Young about outshot the Bullpups.
Well, but, you know, the other players, it's really starting to get to where they're standing around and watching him, and that's really hurt them because now they're two games back at KU. Texas Tech, like you said, is starting to be Texas Tech like everyone thought they'd be.
The Lubbock losers.
They're two games back. K-State making a surge. Now they're
two huge wins
big,
this week.
Big Monday for K-State tonight at Baylor. That won't be easy. So K-State with three losses. West Virginia hanging right there with the Jayhawks. They're just one game back. They've lost two games, of course, KU with one. So.
Is KU going to have an easy win at any point
never,
this year?
Never. I mean, the game against Baylor, I watched, you know, because we were at the game, I watched the replay, and they just cannot put teams away anymore. And I think one thing that will help them moving forward, though, the Billy Preston thing, the situation's been resolved.
Bosnia.
Yeah, he's over in Bosnia.
How would you like to move to Bosnia?
Yeah, so
well,
I don't.
Why would he do it this late? Because the draft is in like 2 months.
Yeah.
Why would he not just go work out?
I guess
he
wants to showcase. He wants to see the big baller.
Wants to make about 10 grand.
He wants to go over and see big baller.
Well, I think he's in Lithuania.
But big baller will go to Bosnia. Where's Bosnia? I can't remember Bosnia.
I think it's in one of those Baltic countries.
Okay, well, anyway. I'm surprised Big Baller didn't get him to Lithuania, to be honest with you.
It would have been pretty cool.
Yeah.
That play, should probably be a pretty
good
team.
Play with Jello and Mello.
With the Balls and Billy Preston, I think they'd be all right.
That'd be a pretty good team. And Billy Preston did come out today and say, I'm a Jayhawk for life. Well, he never
Oh, yeah, played. You are.
Yeah, he never. Yeah, the worst thing he ever did was get behind the wheel of a car. And if he doesn't, because if he doesn't wreck, you know, have a fender bender, who knows? He might be playing all this season at KU and have to forfeit a bunch of games like Topeka High just did.
Yeah, that was weird. Well, K-State against Baylor tonight on Big Monday.
Big.
Well, I guess they're not the Big Monday game. I think they're just on ESPNU. But
it's Monday and it's a big game.
It's a big game and it's on Monday,
It's a
I guess.
Big game for K-State.
West Virginia at TCU is one of the Big Monday games at 8 o'clock. How do you feel about that?
West Virginia will smoke them. Jaden Fisher's
TCU sitting at 2-5.
TCU got, you know, their point guard probably out for the year, hurt his knee. And they're a team that's kind of, I think they peaked too early. And now they've gotten in a slide and they just can't get up.
And then the other Big Monday game, K-State at Baylor, 8 o'clock, ESPNU. You feel good about this K-State team?
I like how K-State's playing, but
if they win tonight, they're going to have a real good chance to make the
NCAA tournament.
They're
playing the human highlighters, though. It'll be interesting to see which unis Baylor goes with. I hope they go with their lime green, you know, illuminating ones where you need sunglasses so it doesn't hurt your eyes.
All right, well, that will do it for today's show. It went by really fast. Lots to talk about tomorrow.
Didn't even talk about the purple lavender uniforms for K-State, the purple pop.
I like them.
I love them. I wish they'd wear them all the time.
Well, that'll do it for today. We have a big show, big week coming up. We've got Mid-America Classic to talk about, which we barely even got to hit on today. Boys basketball for the Bullpups is at Newton on Tuesday night. We've got everything to talk about this week, so you will have to keep listening 12:30 to 1 for the rest of this week, Monday through Friday. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll see you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBDE. Well, I guess it's-